for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Sex and Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2012 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, July the 6th, 2012. Kyle Neese is the speaker of the service teaching on The Open Door. There was also a prophecy earlier in the service that I added in the front of this message.
I desire that my people will worship me from the very depths of their head, not just lip service as men pleasers, but to enter into that holy place with men. For I will commune with you and I will strengthen you in that secret place. He that dwells in my secret place will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then I can say of the Lord, you are my strength, you are my fortress, my mighty tower. We will not be afraid. There shall no pestilence come nigh that dwelling. There shall not be any evil thing come nigh us, any dark thing that lurketh in darkness. But I will go before you, says the Lord. I will go before you. I will make the crooked places straight. But I will say unto you that you must lean into me. You must lean into me. You must lean into me as never before, because there is so much deception in the world. But my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. So hear, hear. Hear me when I speak to you. Hear me when I speak to you in the night seasons. Hear me when I speak to you in my word. Hear me when I speak to you in your daily work. Hear me. Hear me. Hear me. Listen for my voice, says the Lord. Listen for me. Listen for me. Listen for me. For there are many things that will be coming on the earth, but I will keep you. I will preserve you. You will not be defeated, because I have already gone and found a way for you. I have found a way for you. Walk in my ways and you will not fall. You will not fall. You will not fall if you walk in my ways. But I will say to you that deception will come. The very elect will be deceived if possible. So you must walk closely to me. You must. You must. You must walk closely to me. You must abide in my presence. You must abide in my place, in the secret place of the Most High. And I will lead you, I will guide you through. The world is a maze. It is a maze, and there are so many ways that you could go. But there's only one way. So look for that way. Look for that way. Look for that way. Look for that way. Look for the way that will lead you. The way that will lead you to where you need to go. And I will be with you. I will bless you coming in. I will bless you going out. I will bless your store. I will bless everything that concerns you when you walk humbly before me and when you seek my face. Just as my children Israel in the wilderness walked close to me at times and they felt my presence. They really enjoyed my presence. But there were other times when they forgot about me. Have you forgotten about me, says the Lord? Have you forgotten about what I have done for you in the past? Don't dwell in it. Don't live it. But what I want to do for you today, that is important. Walk with me. Walk with me, says the Lord.
Brother Kyle, yes. It is such a blessing to have you back with us. We're so glad you fit us, you take time out of your busy schedule to be with us.
Amen. Praise God. Isn't God good?
Yes.
He is. Open your Bible, if you will, to John 10. You know, there's something about His presence, isn't there? It's restful. What does the Word say? In His presence is
fullness.
Is that right? Fullness. I was blessed by what Jane shared, that first little verse that she shared out of the Amplified. Jane, could you find where you put that down again in the Amplified, where it said something about God and how all that He is conferred on us, downloaded in us. I think that would be the idea of in His presence is fullness. You read out of the Amplified where it said something like, what was that little rendition? Yeah, right in there.
I will sing praises even with my glory, all the faculties and powers of one created
being. All the faculties and powers. That's fullness, sounds like to me, right? Hallelujah. Amen. Of one created in His image. That's, you know, our whole problem is that you got an idea about things. I got an idea about the way things ought to go, and that's not God's idea. His ways aren't, our ways aren't His, but we need to. You know, I thought today, you know, I had this feeling, you know, just in anticipation of sharing. It was almost like, you know, even last night, I was right, it's like fullness.
Yeah.
He's filling up. I thought, you know, you and I are either going to spill it out, or it's going to run over, or it's going to evaporate, one or the other. You know what I'm saying? They're just, that's the way it is. God says He wants fullness in your life because I want your life to be running out and running over. Lord, help us to run over. Help us to run over with what You've given to us because we are created in Your image. That means we're a divine design according to a divine plan and blueprint. And if we either going to function according to the design or miss it completely. Or miss His glory. And that's really the message. You know, I cannot tell you how what has transpired this morning is really the message. You know, I could sit down. That's really the message. We're created in His image. John 10:7 says this. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I'm the door." So this morning, Jesus, what I think the Spirit of God would say to you, I'm the door. I'm the entry. I'm your portal. I'm your launch point to victory. I'm your portal of entry. I'm the place that you're going to get everything you need. I'm the door. If you come any other way, you know that this is a familiar passage. If you come up any other way, you've missed the point. You've missed the point of the door. You've missed the glory. You've missed the fullness. You've missed all that I want to give to you. And you've missed my fullness that could overflow. You know, I was thinking as someone, it was said a number of times last night by Carla, just that those, some maybe, and I don't know where this is coming, kind of coming in a little late, and maybe there's been some who've looked to receive the baptism in fullness of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if that's you. She mentioned it a couple of times last night. So I don't know if she was speaking to youth, young folks, or some of you. I would likely think it's probably not either or, but both and. You know, I would say to you, open up your heart. Will you open up your heart? I like the way she did that because, hey, it's up to you. It's up to you and where you're going to, what are you going to do with Jesus, this Jesus? What are you going to do with this open door He gives to you? You're going to find the fullness of it? I had a long time ago, I had a fellow say that to me in a meeting, and he was talking about receiving the fullness and baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you know, and that was about all it was. It was like, seek God for yourself. And it wasn't until I was on my way home, traveling by myself, the Lord said, you know, a word of faith came in my heart, and God was speaking through the word that had been given in a day or previous to that. Are you going to believe me? Are you going to open up your mouth? Are you going to open wide and let me fill it and fill your life and just open up and let the and live out of the overflow? The Spirit of God is wanting you. If you're contemplating the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the Lord's saying, if you've received Him, if you said, Lord, I receive Your fullness and the baptism of Your Holy Spirit, then stand and believe God and open up your mouth and let Him flow from your life rivers of living water, from your belly rivers of living water. He wants to be and take us to the overflow. I had a little song that I'm not going to share it now, but I. You know, I'm sorry to do that. I honestly wanted to use that as an illustration, though. You know, it was like, it's not the world's greatest song, but it's something to me. It's great because of the words in it there. You know what I'm saying? But it's almost like God wants to put in our life the overflow. It's, you know, you could sing a whole lot of other things, but these words are special to me. They were given to me, and I can own them. You know what I'm saying? The Lord says, I want you to own that word. You're made my image. I want you to own it. I want you to stop renting, but I want you to own it. And I want you to open up your mouth and let me pour through your life. John 10:7, I'm the door. There was a little, we meet on a farm. Some of you have been there, but we meet in a little barn that we fixed up just to meet, building about this size. And it's been months ago, but months back, this little red bird, you know how birds do, you know, in spring, you know, this bird began during the service, he began pecking on all the windows. I mean, you know, and you know, it's a small place, but you know, we've got windows around the place, and he began pecking all the, he'd be over here thumping, you know, and the word, here we're trying to share the word, and he's over here thumping. He's over there. You know, he did that. We've got windows kind of up in the back end of this gable end of a roof. There's some wind. He's up there pecking. He was everywhere, all over the place, and it was distracting folks in the place. You know, I let that go on for, I bet he went on for 4, 5, 6 weeks. I mean, I kept thinking, is he ever going to stop? I'm hoping, you know what I mean? Maybe he'll knock himself out. You know what I'm saying? Pick him up and take him off. He never had. He never did. He just continued over and over to peg. But you know, I found myself one day thinking, "What a stupid little bird." And the Lord said, "You're that bird. You've been that little bird. Pecking." I'm thinking, you know, there's a message for us in what the, you know, he was busy fighting with all of his enemies, wasn't he? You know how birds do. He was pecking at the glass because he thought it was the enemy. Yeah, the enemy. Well, he was beating his brains in trying to fight the enemy. Going around fighting what he thought was the enemy, or so it would seem. There's hope for healing in our life at the face of the open door. There at the face and only at the face of this open door. Only in the face of Jesus in His presence, the Word says He lives. I mean, He's already done what He was going to do. He's accomplished and He's living for your benefit so that you and I can get in on the glory. So we can get in on His presence. He lives to pray for you just for that one purpose. Do you believe that that's God's only desire for your life is that and mine is that we could actually experience that and live off of His design? And we're so oftentimes working off our own design, you know, working off our own, you know. I had some guys helping me with this building and I bet we'd drawn it 8 or 10 times. You know, it was sort of just a little old, dilapidated little tin building, and we kind of used the takeoff on it. And we'd drawn several different grand ideas of and this thing. One of the guys that was helping me was sort of bummed out the first couple of weeks when we started. You know, he was an architect, and he was a little, to be quite honest, he was a little ticked off because it just wasn't quite what he wanted. It wasn't quite what we thought we needed. You know, we needed more of the Cadillac, and he had drawn this. I mean, he'd drawn it graciously 8 or 10 times. Over and over and over to get the one that we, and then we changed it. But God oftentimes changes our design, doesn't He? He was a little bothered. You know, sometimes our ideal hindered the project from going forward. It's been 3-4 years of fooling with this little building. Something that should have taken 3 months, it's taken 3-4 years. Sometimes because of the stubbornness and the opposition of wanting to serve God, wanting to follow Him and wanting to be His volunteer. And getting to do it our way. And is that right? God can't use that. God's not going to use that. What could have been accomplished in 3-6 months took 3-4 years. And I believe because of some folks say, well, you're just doing the best you can with what you have. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's true. However, that old stubborn heart that says, I'll volunteer for you, Lord, as long as I can be who I want to be and do it my way. There's a lesson for us in the parable, you might say, of the little red bird. He's pecking all the windows. And there's a blindness, and that word was used this morning, deception that sometimes can be there over what we think things should be. I want to see something though. If you look back with me, you may be real familiar with this passage. He's the good shepherd, right? He's the shepherd of the sheep, and He says to you and me, His sheep, I'm the open door. I care for your life, and I'm the open door. But I want you to see this is in the context of spiritual blindness. It's in a cloud. This, what Jesus says here, is in the context of a spiritual blindness that's taking place, and Jesus is revealing something that's really important. Look at 9 back, if you will, just to kind of see some context. Okay, John 9:39. Read with me. It says this, and Jesus said, I'm going to read it from. Sometimes I'm going to refer to another translation because it sometimes puts it in a just an easy way to hear it and understand it. It says this, if I can find it. Then Jesus told them, I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they see that they're blind. It's context, spiritual blindness. Hey, there's some spiritual blindness. There's some things you don't see. There's some things you're missing, Jesus is saying to these. Some Pharisees who were standing nearby heard Him and asked, are you saying that we're blind? If you were blind, you wouldn't. Jesus said, if you're blind, you wouldn't be guilty. Jesus replied, but you remain guilty because you claim you can see. You really think God needs you? I don't mean that. Please don't misinterpret what I'm saying. He loves you. I would no way demean your character if you're the person who's sort of under the pile and thinking God doesn't love you. He loves you very much. It's just that He wants you to understand. You and I all have to come there and say, it's not my plan. It's not my design. It's, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? What's your will, Lord? Because you know, when I can get there, I can inherit the love He has for me. I can inherit the goodness. I can inherit the plan. I can inherit the plan, the blueprint. I can see it. I can lay my eyes on it and go, oh Lord, this is what you want. Oh Lord, I get it. I see. When sometimes we're bound by our own thinking and our own spiritual blindness. This is the point of what I just read. Jesus cures the blindness caused by our own reflection. That's the first thing I want you to get. Jesus is the cure. He's stating real clearly, because you say we see, you're blind. He's trying to expose their blindness, their spiritual blindness, and jump fast forward to the first verse we read. I'm the door, he's saying. I am the door. I came to expose spiritual blindness because I'm the cure for the blindness, your blindness, caused by your own reflection. That's important. The bird. What's he pecking at? Really think about it. That really showed me something. I'm looking at the bird. I'm watching it. That bird, you know, right before, you know, he got it, you know, I'm watching that little bird what's he see? What is it? What is it that he sees? What's he pecking at? Himself. He's the enemy, you know. He watched little birds. You know, they're working their territory. I can remember a professor in college years ago, and he was an ornithologist. That's a bird guy, you know, studies birds. And so he would always be fascinated with all these birds. We'd see all these little robins jumping around on campus. There'd be one over here, be one over here. And I thought, that's the strangest thing. I'd never seen that before. I kind of lived in the city. Well, I went to school out in Abilene, and I'm watching all, you could just see them, man, making a circle. They were robins all over the campus. And that's what they're doing. They're marking out the territory. They're not letting any birds in. It's just females, and they're keeping all of them. They're fighting all of them. But they were after a good fight. And now that this bird hasn't figured out, he's after a good fight. Well, he's keeping everybody out of his territory, or so it would seem. And he's just fighting with himself. You know, I've given you a picture there. You can go home and probably get you some, on Independence Day, you get you some real liberty. Forget about the independence, because you don't need to be independent. You know what I'm saying? That's our problem. We're independent. That's one of our problems here in the country. We've got that maverick independence. Lord, I don't need anybody's help. Oh, we need the body of Christ. I don't need anybody. You know, I drove here thinking, and I thought, on Independence Day, you know, I heard someone else said, Happy Independence Day. And I thought, we need liberty. You know, and independence, not so much, you know. If you understand that, we need God bring liberty in our life, because liberty is under authority, real liberty. Liberty. I'm at liberty. The soldier, he's at liberty, right? He's under authority, but he's got some rest working in his life. We need liberty. And Jesus is the cure for our blindness. And you could say he's the cure for the the hatred that it produces, our image. He's pecking, right? He sees himself. It's his image. It's our image. Our image and our self-gratifying ideals produce a hatred for the thing that we see, and we're trying to eradicate that. You know, the more you look at yourself, think about it. Sometimes a mirror is not the best thing in the world. You know what I mean? You ladies, I've had, I'm married. I've got two daughters that just got married. So I know gals, and I know what they think. I know how they are. You know what I'm saying? I lived it, brother. I am easy. I want to be easy. But you know what I'm saying? Sometimes when we're looking too much, and we're standing looking too long in the mirror, sometimes, the honest truth, we do. The more we look, the more I say, I hate that. That just doesn't look right. And you'd be through 42 changes of clothes. You know what I'm saying? I can say that because I have daughters that I love very much. You know, and truth is, I could see myself there, you know, too much. More of a shame to say that, because most men aren't that way. You know what I mean? I could see myself there. But, you know, he's the cure. Jesus is the cure for our blindness, caused by our reflection and what we see and what we think we ought to see, and trying to eradicate those things that we think, and we're at enmity with ourselves. My reflection, write this down, my reflection always makes me angry. And it just says it's all about my idolatry. Bottom line, you know, you parse that any way you want, but it's just plain old idolatry. Sin is sin. It's just plain. That's our problem in this country, because most of us have come from enough of a Christian background. We don't think we worship idols. Biggest lie ever perpetrated on the American public in her quest for independence. You know, when what we needed was liberty. God says, don't just recognize what it is. It's all about idolatry. When you're looking at your own image and you're seeing too much of your own reflection, it'll make you angry. It'll make you fight against yourself, war against yourself, and never really come to the door. You know, a guy said to me one day, he didn't come very much, but the first Sunday it went on week after week. But he'd peck on the door, and he came right over to the door at one point. First time I ever seen him do it. He'd come right to the door. He came right to the door, and we have kind of a lattice work on the rear entry doors, kind of got these divided lights, windows. And he was pecking. And this fella said, I'm telling you, if you open that door, he'll come on in here. And I thought, no, he ain't coming in here. He's busy pecking on the glass. He's wanting in this building. I said, he ain't wanting in this building. He's wanting what he sees in the glass. He didn't care less what's in this building. The problem is, you know, his behavior and his erratic behavior kept him from the presence of what was in the building. Kept him from the presence of the house. Sometimes our actions and what we're thinking and what we're seeing, we're not even thinking about the door. Come right to the door. God says, I want you to open up to me. I'm opening up to you. Will you come on in to the building? Will you let the glory flow in your life? Will you come to recognize it's all about the glory? And let it flow in your life. I'm the cure, Jesus says, for blindness. And where are you? Let me just read this. It kind of refers to sometimes our idolatry. I had marked it somewhere over here. I just quote from Romans. I'll read it from Romans 1, 21, 23. Says this, for even though they knew God, they didn't honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory. You know, you can parse this any way you want to and think, well, he's just talking about the homosexual. You know, they got news for you. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to you and me, folks. He didn't leave you and me out of this word here. Where are you exchanging your glory? We live in the land of glory exchange. You know what I'm saying? The truth be told. More than we need to. Where are you at odds with the image you want, but it's not the cure of Christ? You're at odds with His image. You're looking at your image, but it's really not His cure. It's idolatry. Don't exchange the glory for that of another. You know, your glory is you and mine. It just misses. You know, God will let you have all you want. That's all you want. Amen. What you have. I used to pastor with a guy, and he was just real cut and dry like that. That's what you want. God will just give you, let you have what you want. Till you get tired of that, God says, I want you to have my image, because mine produces a cure. It's the image. You know, it's interesting. You talk about the voice. Here's what I wrote down. His image, he produces a voice recognition. John 10, 3-5 says this. Let me read it to get back there. John 10, 3-5 says this. To him the door, Jesus, the I am the door, he says. I'm going backwards on verse 3. To him, Jesus, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They have the imprint of his voice, the image. You know, it's interesting that the body changes a lot. Those of you who've gotten older, you've been young. I thought to say that with someone the other day. I said, I've been young and now I'm old and getting older. I'm telling you. You know, the body changes. Your face, everything changes, but the voice changes very little. It changes very little. And I'm not too good with faces. You know, I don't remember, but I don't forget a voice usually. Get me on the phone where I can't look at the face. And now the voice, it has an imprint. It's just unmistakable, the voice. He wants to imprint His voice in my life in a way that's unmistakable. Do you want the anointing that produces the image of His voice? We talked about that last night. There's an anointing. You know, I believe in that. You know, Patty said last night, she said, nothing like the anointing. That's right. You know, you stand up, you're flat-footed, but if there's not the anointing, you know, if it's not the anointing, then, you know, what are we doing? You know, I thought, and I wrote this scripture down someplace. I've got it written down here. It's not important at this point. But over in Samuel, where it says that Samuel came and he took the horn of oil and he anointed David, and that anointing of the Spirit of God, that anointing, it never departed from David's life. And David was the one through whom the Christ came. Did David have some problems? He had some real problems he had to work through. But there was an anointing that never, the Word says it never departed from it. You want that anointing? I want that anointing. And I'm not talking about just are you saved. I'm talking about an anointing. An anointing that the Spirit of God produces in your life, that He has that voice imprint, that vocal recognition that brings you and me into the authority of this verse. To Him, the doorkeeper opens up. He opens up. To all hindrances and everything that would stand in the way, there's a word that comes forth. The door swings open and the sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and He leads them out. You know what that says to you and me? That He knows you and He loves you. He loves you more than you could possibly. He knows you. He loves you. He cares for you. He calls them by name. He calls you by name. When He puts forth all His own, He goes ahead of them and the sheep follow because they know His voice. They have had an imprint that's recognizable. I wrote this down. That today, will you come to the anointing? Will you come to receive that anointing that doesn't depart from your life? It's a voice, a discerning voice. It's a voice that discerns between truth and error. That's what this voice does. It keeps you and me from the deceptive things that are coming on the face of the earth. They're here. They've been here for, it's a slow, if you can look back in slow motion, I can think back in 1987, 8, long about in there. This fellow wrote a book that began stirring my heart. I began seeing some things. You could say everything's happened in slow motion from that point to this, but it's happened nonetheless. But what sometimes can happen to me is because it's taken so long, kind of just get tired and sleepy, and if you're not careful, you just miss it. God told you back in the mid-80s that this is coming on the face of the earth, and we've just kind of gotten sleepy. The Lord says, I'm the cure for your blindness and the blindness caused by your own reflection. Look at verse 10:1. It sounds like I'm working my way backward instead of going forward. I guess that's not the proper way normally to do Scripture, but I think we're just trying to get it all here of something that I didn't mention at first. When Jesus says, I'm the door, it's in the context of saying this, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber. And I thought, that little bird, and he was trying every which way. He just wasn't using the door. He was every portal, every place, every shiny place on that building, man, everything that glittered, everything that looked like what he was after, bang, he was hitting it. I got so tired of it. Finally, after a while, someone said, I was long suffering with him, I thought. But at some point it had to come to an end. And I says, this, if you miss the door, you're a thief. You're party to the thief and the robber. Truly I say to you, he who does not enter the door of the fold of the sheep but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber. You and I are party to the thief and the robbery. We're playing into his hand. You could say we've sort of enabled, if you would, our sin has enabled the thief and the robber to take advantage of us. Banging our head on the window by our own doing, being our own worst enemy. Jesus says, I'm the door and I remove that alliance with evil. Come to me. I'm the door. I can remove that evil alliance, that evil thing, but where you're a thief, you're a party to the thief and robber, and I can remove. I think he's saying to you and me this, remove the unknown idolatry. Maybe you know, maybe you don't, but remove the idolatry caused by yourself or a figment or of your own deceived mind. It's the red bird. He makes himself a nuisance to himself and others and hastens his own death. Because he's made it a nuisance. You know what he really has done? Just like the Romans scripture we just read. He's exchanged his glory. The glory of the... at first he was the most beautiful thing everybody ever said. Oh, look at the pretty little red bird. Isn't he pretty? Oh, bang, bang, bang. While the enemy's stealing the word. The word's going on. Bang, bang, bang. Oh, he's so pretty. Oh, they're all looking at the bird. Missing the word. I'm thinking the pretty little red bird. He went on and on. He makes himself a nuisance and he's party to the wrong thing. He's made himself a nuisance. He's missed the glory design. Think about that. I don't know about you, but I'm getting older. And sometimes I look and say, God, I've missed your glory. God, I've missed your purpose and plan for my life. I think God would say to you, don't wait. Don't wait to think. It's never too late. But don't think. Don't think, I think the Lord's saying, I want you right now to be pressing into my glory. The enemy wants to discourage and dishearten, but don't let him lie to you because Jesus and a relationship with him. Someone asked me the other day, did I believe in deliverance? I'm thinking, yeah. Jesus. I think David said somewhere in the Psalms, maybe, daily are his deliverances. Is that right? I figured he knew something about deliverance. You know what I'm saying? And he may not have been, and I don't know, but I don't know what all, but he believed in that. He said, daily are his deliverances. And I think God is daily wanting you and I to get this, that He wants to remove the alliance with evil. And He's only going to do that by a relationship with Him. And I'm not saying God doesn't use people praying for one. He does. That's why we're here. That's why I'm here. what I would say to you. He's wanting you and me to grow up and get it. He's wanting you. You shared some Derek Prince with me last time I was here, and I was on my way home, and I was listening to those, and I heard Derek Prince say, someone had come to him and said, brother, he wanted to pray for him. Pray deliverance over him. And he said, you know what? He said, I had enough. I said, no. He said, I'm not going to pray for you until you're desperate enough to pray for yourself. And when you do that, I'll come out and pray for you. I'm not going to be desperate for you if you're not desperate. And I thought, puts a pretty good little point on that. Deliverance. God wants to deliver you, but He's saying to you, look, I died to deliver you. You don't think it's not important to me? It's very important to me that I save you from yourself and remove the alliance from evil, but you've got to recognize the besetting sin and the idolatry of your own heart that's giving the enemy ground. He's a legalist. He's going to just do what you give him. So no use unless you're willing to cut off and give up and surrender to him. It's that the besetting sin, you might say, that's captivated and threatened the little bird's life. That propensity to peck on the window and just make himself a nuisance instead of being out there doing what he's supposed to be doing. Procreating and making for glory and populating the earth. And you could say, you could put that another way, making disciples.
That's right.
I'm thinking, Lord, that's a convicting thing. Making disciples. You know, praise God that you're baptizing some folks. You know what I'm saying? I look at my life and think, Lord, well, there needs to be more of that going on. You know, where disciples are being made. I got that in my heart, but sometimes I'm thinking, Lord, I'm thinking, it's my plan, God's saying. I'm the door. Will you open up your heart? Will you let it flow? Will you stop being your own worst enemy? Let it flow. Let my life flow from your life. You know, we'll say this about Mom. Those of you who know her, I was telling a little story the other day, and she sells some dogs. It says this on the side. And she called me one night. She was out of breath. She said, well, somebody's come over from Louisiana. And, you know, they were going to come to the house. It's about 9 or 10 o'clock. And I just don't feel full comfortable. People just coming over at night. I don't know them. A couple of guys. I'm thinking, well, yeah, I think so. Maybe it's not a great idea. She said, but I told them I'd meet them up there at the McDonald's. And I figured it's safe and a well-lit place. And I'm thinking, well, okay. And she said, so would you go with me? And I said, well, I'm already going to be up there at the Lowe's. I have to do something or pay a bill or go on. I'm going back and forth with some material. So I said, I'll meet you there. And I'll meet her there. And I said, they'll never know I'm there. I'll park right there and I'll just watch y'all's transaction. Anyway, the guys show up and they start talking about the Lord and talking about where they were. And then they're talking about the nightclub thing or something. I forget. Well, she said, no, y'all need to repent. You know, she's telling them. I'm thinking, boy, how she can get away with stuff. I don't know if I ever could. I'm thinking, she's who she is. And there's no question about whether you're on a plane, whether you're traveling, where you are. It's always blessed me because I'm thinking, you know what, I need to be more like that. To where there's never any question about who you are, or what you believe, or what you stand for, and where are you going to spend eternity? You know, it's important. Dear God, help us to be about where we're going to spend eternity. Because you know what? He's the miracle that changes. You know, when you mention all of the folks coming in, I likely think, God, once He starts that trickle to a flow, I got a feeling we're going to have a glory place. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we'll really find a place where we're seeing Him do in an instant what it's taken us 20 or 30 years of our own stubborn will to accomplish. He accomplishes just like that. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of Jesus I want. Everywhere I read in the Word, He healed blind eyes and He didn't take Him 20 years to do it. You know what I'm saying? It was done. You know, we prayed for someone to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and it was done. You know what I'm getting at? Some of you need to receive what God's done and just say it's done and open up your heart and begin to receive. And it's done. So He accomplishes. Jesus is the door that removes the alliance with evil. And just lastly, this lordship of Christ. It's the passageway to all that He is. You know, it's His Lord. It's really about His lordship and that relationship with Him that I started there just a minute ago. It really is all about relationship. You know, without relationship, I don't. You know, all of the teaching. And you know what that can wind up being? I went to school to have to get to a point of going, you know what, that's not it. Being puffed up and proud about all that you know and you think you know and what you know about God, you better lay all that in the dust if you're going to go on with Him to something powerful. So be careful sometimes in all of our learning, and we're producing little fruit of it. Be careful with what you got and where you are. Because God says, you know what, all of that knowledge, I don't need all of that. I mean, I can show you in an instant by the Holy Spirit. What I really need from you is a love relationship that calls me Lord and says, I'm It's the passageway. Jesus said, I am the door. That means you're going to have such a relationship with Him that you're coming on into place. I'm the door. That implies that you walk with Him in and out. You walk with Him on the day-to-day, coming in and going out. You're walking with Him as His disciple. Without that, you don't have very much. Without that, you and I don't have much hope for deliverance, to be quite honest with you. He's saying, Lord, I believe. He's saying, I want to deliver you. I believe. You know, there have been some times in my life I'm saying, God, if you give me over to this thing, dear God, deliver my life from this horrible thing. You know, some of you could fill in the blank. This horrible thing. God, I need you to deliver me from this horrible thing. And I believe He longs to do that. I believe He longs to do that. I believe He longs to do that in an instant. But He's saying, I've got some choices for you to make. You want the picture of the red bird, or you want to come to the door and enter the right way? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, Jesus would say, I'm the door. Now, by saying that, and by saying that the enemy, verse 10:10, he says this, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That means rob you from the door. Rob you from the coming, rob you from the plan, rob you from what's coming in and out. He's come to rob you from all of that. Oh, you've just worked up a sweat pecking on all the windows. But the enemy, the thief, has robbed. He's come to steal and destroy and plunder what the Lord said to you, I want you to take dominion over. But you know, there's a word here. It really falls into play with what was spoken last night. I'm the legitimate way. You can come any other way you want to. If you come up any other way, you're a thief and a robber. If you don't enter by the door, you're illegitimate. You know what I'm saying? Now, all of us, we got some of that illegitimate thing. I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm the wallflower at the dance. You know what I'm saying? In a good way, bad way, I guess. I don't know. But it's just being there on the wallflower, feeling like, you know, I could be feeling that way. You know, I can have to battle those kinds of feelings of feeling like you don't belong. And I certainly believe that in that spirit that works against us to bring us in those feelings of illegitimacy. But you know, I believe when we hook up, when we walk with Jesus and we come as His disciple and we're walking through the door and there's a communion with Him. There's a glory place. There's a secret place. We're getting in on more and more. I'm not saying you're perfect. I'm not saying there's some things. The Word says you've got to walk out your salvation. But when you and I are getting there more and more, I believe He's removing the counterfeit. I mean, He's really removing it. He can remove it in a day and an instant, but are we going to walk that out now? You know what I mean? You know, I found when I received the baptism and the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you know what I mean? Guess what I discovered? I thought, well, I could have done that 20 years ago. Because you were unwilling in your own stubborn heart, Kyle. You didn't want to open your mouth. I believe that was for somebody else, but not me. Is that right? Oh, missing the fullness of what God intended for you. You know, it's kind of like, no thanks, Lord. I think I'll stick with my hammer and my handsaw, and He offered you all these power tools, right? What a case we are, right? He said, I'm offering you more. Don't accept the counterfeit. Don't accept another way. I've got a better way for you. The Lord says you're going to have to open up your heart, though, and just receive from me. Because I'm your passageway. My lordship, my relationship with you is the passageway to your provision. And I love that word, abundance. Right? Abundance, fullness. Nothing short of fullness. You know, His design for your life and mine is nothing short of fullness. Nothing else will do. And sometimes we're just playing off a half empty. Yesterday's bread, and it's evaporating. Are you at a place where you feel like it's evaporating? God says, I want to fill you up. Let me fill you up. And don't exchange my glory. Don't be a menace to others or yourself. You know, I want to bring some things in that I thought were good this last night. I started writing. You know, talk about the fullness as Carla was sharing. I wrote down some things, but they have to do with this legitimate. I really had that on my heart before I ever got here, of addressing this very one thing. I'd written, you know, this illegitimate thing. You know, to bind that illegitimate kind of thing off of our life so that we don't walk after the illegitimacy of pecking on all of the windows and missing the door when He offers us fullness. I think He wants us to recognize that. And I already said, you know, David and Samuel, 1 Samuel 16:13, that this anointing that was with David, it was from that day forward. And it made him legitimate. It legitimized the king and the kingdom. Is that right? The anointing. It legitimized the king and the kingdom for all time. What a wonderful thing, you know. I think this lordship of Christ has this kind of work in my life. If I make Him Lord, then I'm not caught up with the image of man anymore. We had to make some choices. You know, I made some choices a long time ago that I don't believe learning for learning's sake is going to do me one bit of good. You know, and those who are learning for learning's sake to puff yourself up to be the expert. You know what I mean? I have to struggle with my own heart because I'm not real crazy about experts. You know what I mean? Because I'm figuring even the most expert among us, he's only maybe this much smarter than me. Or maybe that's a whole lot. I don't know. But it ain't nothing to God. You know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking, I know there's people who can do things, that incredible things, that if I'm not careful, I'm bound down at the altar of their expertise. I mean, I'm really, as a man, I'm just, oh, man, how do you do that? That's just amazing. You know, but God says, I want you to have such a relationship with me that you think I'm wonderful. You think I'm, you catch the marvelous wonder of who I am. You catch the greatness of who I am. God says, that's what I want you to start. I want you to start worship. That's the purpose of our worshiping the Lord, you know, here. You know, we're just so blessed as we're just worshiping the Lord that it's just things come to a place where the Spirit of God comes and He brings us to a place of rest. He's wanting to bring us to a place in our own life on a day-to-day basis as disciples where, Lord, we think You're wonderful. You know, I've seen in my life, my flesh, but I like a man's man. You know what I mean? I like a man's man. You know, I grew up, my granddaddy, you know, I just appreciated him so much because he was a guy that was always there, rock steady. And a lot of good things. In fact, there's too many good things. I could just sort of bow down to all of that. But you know what? There ain't nothing there. There ain't nothing there. He told me one time he was working, and I apologized because I was going someplace. I got a chance to go someplace early, and I was working with him on something. And he was out there just working on a tractor or something. And he said, Granddad, I've got to go here. And it was something in the church. And he stopped what he was doing, and I thought he was going to be upset because here he's out there doing all the work. And off of there, I'm skipping off to, you know, go in church someplace. And I felt guilty leaving him there. And he said, son, don't worry about that. He said, and he was speaking about his work. He said, this is just a vapor. He says, I appreciated that about him. He wasn't the most perfect man. I appreciate that about him. Here I am kind of getting off on something. He said, the truth is, though, he was trying to point me to something greater than himself and what he was doing. And I think the truth is, he knew that. But my flesh kind of likes to, you know, be caught up with a man's man. But God says, I want, it's about the Lordship of Christ. It's not about your idolatry and who you can ooh and auto. And the truth is, we do that more than we think we do. You get around somebody, we get all loop-legged over it. It's because they're so powerful, they're so important. You know, we just, and we miss the glory ourselves. You know what, if we're finding the glory ourselves, we're not, and I'm not saying we don't, the Bible says honor men who are following in the way of God. We should honor men. And that's not what I'm speaking about. But don't idolize men. Recognize God's wanting to use you.
That's right.
If you get in His presence with His glory, He's wanting to do some things in your life that are remarkable. He's wanting to give you a word that's remarkable. I was just blessed. Jane said, I thought, you know, when that word came forth, I'm thinking, Lord, I just pray somebody's got the courage to speak what You say. You know, I'm thinking, you know, I don't know. Have you ever been there? Someone's sharing, thinking, Lord, I don't know. Is that me? I'm the one supposed to give the interpretation here. I don't know. I don't know if I have it right, you know. You know what I'm saying? And I praise God for somebody's got the boldness to speak up. Because it takes that. You can say, well, it's all God, I believe that's right. But I believe He gives you a choice whether or not to open your mouth or not.
Right.
Sit on it if you want to. How many times have we done that? And it's done what? It's evaporated. You know, it's sort of like manna that just sort of, it began to smell like yesterday's bread. God says, I want you with me, because my Lordship, it's your passageway to abundance. It removes the counterfeit. The anointing breaks yokes. This, and I wrote this down last night. I'm about to close, but I'm thinking the Lord wants us this morning. So Lord, I want to receive Your yoke. That's Lordship. Any way you cut it, it's Lordship. A yoke. You know, and a yoke is work. You know what I'm saying? It's not easy. I found it was easy working for people I loved. People I enjoyed being with, it was easy. People I had a great relationship, no problem. I'd rather be doing that than anything else. I'd rather be doing that than rolling a roller coaster at Six Flags, really. I'd rather be working, doing something valuable with somebody I loved and I cared for. Jesus says, I want you to be yoked to me. I can use you. I don't care who you are. I can use you. And I want to use you. The yoke of Jesus, I wrote this down, that receive the yoke of Jesus. Because the yoke of Jesus is a yoke of work, but it's a work of love. It's a love relationship. It's a work of love. An unloving spirit can't receive that love. God says, you got to let me love you. Stepdad used to say to me, he'd have his last little bit of money as a kid, and I felt guilty taking it. He said, no, I'll take that. I'm not taking my last $5. No. He said, will you let me love you? I'm trying to love you. He was a guy that didn't know a lot of love. He was a guy that never had a father. He said, I'm trying to love you. I'm trying to be a father to you. I'm trying to love you. Will you let me? God's saying, I'm trying to love you. Will you let me? Will you let me love you? Will you come wear my yoke? Will you receive my yoke? It's a yoke that can break off every curse. I wrote this down. I thought it was good. Carl said that the curse was broken when I received His love. The curse was broken when I received His love. That means I said yes. Don't second guess that. Well, I don't know. Maybe it didn't really happen. I don't know. If you want to walk in doubt and unbelief, you can. God said, believe me in faith. Speak it out in faith and it's done. And then walk like it's done. And believe on me. Will you receive that yoke? Stand up with me if you will. And let's ask the Lord just to receive from Him an anointing that breaks off every yoke. When you and I begin to have a love relationship with Jesus, you'll know the truth that sets you free. Just pray with me. Lord, we just thank You that we can come in Your... We thank You for Your presence this morning. We thank You for Your Word this morning. We thank You for Your Word, Lord, that says that we're made after Your image and Your design. We thank You, Lord, that You want to use us. We're thankful that You said, I'm the door. I don't want You to come some other way. I want You to come through the door. Thank You, Lord, that you could confer that kind of wisdom on us. Help us to start using the door. Help us to stop trying to come our own way, Lord. We want to repent right now of the idolatry of trying to come our own way. We, as a group corporately, Lord, we could be specific in that, maybe for You to do at some point. But Lord, we ask You, we repent of the idolatry, Lord, of just trying to have it our way or using some other means instead of coming by the door of relationship with You, the door of love, the door of the yoke that You, as Your disciple, You said, come to Me, all you who are weary, and I'll give you a yoke that's restful, it's easy, it's light. It's not going to overburden you, but it's going to be fitted for you. Lord, right now we ask You, help us right now in all of our life, even if we don't know that we're there. Lord, I pray right now that You'd begin fitting us to wear Your yoke. We pray for Your gentleness, Lord. You'd come and custom fit, and Lord, You'd begin that work in our life right now. We want to surrender to that custom fit, Lord Jesus, that You make. It's a yoke that Lord, it's been perfectly fitted for us. It's Your yoke. It's not to overburden us, but it's to make us strong in the strength of Your might and to afford us everything that we have coming in so that we could take dominion. Right now, we bind what the spirit of the enemy, this illegitimate spirit of wanting to come in another way, that every illegitimate thing, Lord, in Jesus' name, we bind it. We put it down. And Lord, we loose the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, if the enemy's been strong, Lord, we confess Your power is mighty. And we thank You that Your power is mighty and explosive and sharper, Lord, than anything, Lord. We thank You for Your greatness and Your power, and we ask You in Jesus' name, pour out Your strength to us, Lord. We bless You, Lord. We want to throw off the throes of our own image and our own idea, Lord, and we want to receive Your soul. We want to receive Your yoke. We want to receive that anointing right now. Each of us, Lord, I pray that we would see in our own life, Lord, there's the anointing. We want the anointing. It's the voice imprint that, Lord, causes us, Lord, to hear Your voice to the right or to the left so that, Lord, You get us on track. So that the days coming, the days ahead, Lord, we wouldn't be led astray like Your Word says, a promise for those who know Your Word. There's a promise even in Romans, Lord. I thank You for Paul's testimony that, Lord, where he said there were those who exchanged the glory. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the good news of Jesus to show me how I'm supposed to live. So, Lord, we thank You for the good news of Jesus and the gospel, the good news that says there's a yoke that we can say and I can surrender to today. They can show me how to live. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Live today. Well, we receive that yoke right now. We receive that yoke of love, Lord, in Jesus' name. We want to receive it, Lord. We want to own it, Lord. We ask You in Jesus' name, touch us. We bless You, Lord. We give glory and praise to You. Lord, fit our lives with praise and glory. Lord, just we bless You. Thank You for today. Thank You for Your presence, Lord. We bless You that in Your presence is fullness, Lord. We receive of that fullness in Jesus' name. Fill us up, Lord, to an overflow. Fill us up to yet accomplish, Lord, those things that You would in our life. Lord, there's some of we got some plans that we're moving ahead this way or that. Whatever we do, wherever we go, we ask You, Lord, that we would see Your plan unfolding before us, Lord. for people, for souls, Lord. Not for what this world says. It'd be for people. God, help us to be caring for people, caring for souls. Give us a heart, Lord, to see the need when it arises, Lord. And be the healing balm, Lord, of Gilead. The healing balm to apply salve in that place, that in Jesus' name it wouldn't be put out of joint but healed. Pray that for our own life, and pray that You'd be a healing force in our life. And we bless You as we come in and go out through Your door. We bless You in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.